bring. This is probably one of the most simple messages, and yet one that some years ago, I think God really used to transform my life. What I'm going to talk, I'll go ahead and put the title on here, Cooperating with God's Transformation. Cooperating with God's Transformation. This will be kind of really a little more just really Bible study than I don't have like, 6 points and some things that I often do in a sermon. But I believe that this is going to be important to us because if you get this truth, I believe it's going to set us up for God's transformation to increase in us. So we don't have to be sitting in park. I had a privilege meeting a dear pastor today, not met before, but strong heart after God, but one of the things he mentioned was sometimes folks come in and maybe have an encounter with God, and they just can't think, well, that's it, that was good, and they go on about their way, and God's not really central to that. How many understand that was never the plan of God? It's beginning this journey, and it's continuing the journey, and it's God working in us and then through us, but changes in the way that comes about. Let me give you a quick testimony because somebody may not even know that. I grew up in church all my life. Growing up in church doesn't make you a Christian. Anybody else know that? You can do grandma loving Jesus didn't automatically make me a believer, a Jesus follower. My mama, my daddy, then there came a time that I had to make that decision about following Christ for myself. But the church that we grew up in was quite, I'll use this term, some will understand it, some won't, legalistic, meaning external, a lot of focus on the external things. Now, I believe external things matter. Can I hear an amen? I mean, if I come up and slap you on the face, there's going to be something external that matters. But an internal problem will be preceding me coming and slapping. I'm not going to do that. Calm down. But there will be something wrong in here for me to do that out here. So if I just focus on the external, okay, I check off I didn't do that, and I check off I did do that, and then I can still be really radically messed up in here. Am I communicating with anybody that knows what I'm talking about? So, but the transforming work of God, it is an inside-out event process, not an event. I contrast those a lot of times. So how do I learn to cooperate with God's transformation at work? Again, having grown up, so I knew, you don't do some certain things, and the Bible still, it says don't do some certain things. Amen? Don't kill people. That's a good commandment. Don't be involved in sexual immorality. That's a good one. Don't lie. If I just focus on I'm going to keep the Ten Commandments to the best of my ability, my heart can still be very corrupt. But if my heart is getting right, there is something on the inside of me that empowers me, the power of God that empowers me and gives me the desire to do what's right externally too. Okay, thank you. Now, many years fast forward after coming to Christ, still, I think a whole bunch of Ronnie's effort was involved in this. And I hope I can put this in some sort of balance tonight. And God help it. If I say something wrong, that you forget it. And if I need to say it differently, that God translates it to get into your ears and helps me say it right anyway. But there's just a few verses of Scripture that I want to unpack tonight, and now I will go a little bit deeper into some breakdown of scriptures than I would normally do too. The New Testament was written originally in the Greek language, so out of the Greek language, I'm not a Greek scholar, as I've said many times, my computer is a Greek scholar. Your phone will be a Greek scholar. You look at you can download Blue Letter Bible app, and it's free, but you can look up Greek, the New Testament, Hebrew for the Old Testament, find out what other word means, what the expanded meanings are. You don't always get it out of Webster's dictionary, because what we have, whether it's the New King James King James Version, New King James, the other more modern translations have the roots should go all the way back to the original languages. Unfortunately, some of the more modern translations leave out some things that were actually in the original Greek. So I really suggest that you do serious study, again, looking back at the original. Having said all that, let me break down a few verses of scriptures. So if I am learning to cooperate with God's transforming power that's at work in me, how do I stay in that receiving mode? How do I say yes on the journey? And we're going to read some familiar passages. Romans chapter 12 is where I'm going to be, will be a launching point. But it's Romans chapter 12 is preceded by Romans chapters 1 through 11. Now, that's a revelation for you, isn't it, on a Wednesday night? Duh, you got it. But so Romans encompasses so much of the doctrine of solid of the gospel, why Jesus came, what was that about, all of this. So I'm not going to walk through those first 11 chapters, but understanding it, it declares to us that all have sinned, that we're lost without God. We get all the way to Romans 6, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus only. And then in chapter 6 through 8 is the practical, some of the practical things of righteousness and Christian life and what that looks like. And then God goes back in chapters 9 through 11 and he talks about Israel and how the Israel has primarily rejected God's grace and God has opened the door. If you're not Jewish tonight, you're Gentile, and maybe Lynn may be the only Jewish one here, but you know it took the same blood of Jesus to cleanse her that cleanses us. Amen. Same Messiah, not some different for Jew and Gentile. God broke down that wall of partition. Now we go all the way to chapter 12. So recap, fast forward to chapter 12, verse 1, and go with me. We'll go, again, a little more slowly because I really want us to comprehend this. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. Read it with me out loud. I'm reading from the New King James at first. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now, let's go down and just break down about 10 of those words real quickly. I beseech you, that word means to urge, to encourage. It means to instruct or teach. It's not just a casual, I'll take it or leave it. No, he said, I beseech you, therefore. And anytime you see the word therefore in Scripture, ask what it's there for. Ask why it's there, because it connects to something previously. In other words, stand alone, you start reading, it says, therefore, and so you couldn't go back to chapter 11. I just didn't want to get all there. So, but the setting, the context of chapter 12 is really chapter 11 and those chapters preceding that. So I beseech you, therefore, in light of what's already been said and taught, I kind of summarized some of that. I beseech you, therefore, brothers. It means believers. I like what somebody said. If it says brethren, it means sister in two. So women aren't excluded from that. So I beseech you, therefore, believers, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, or because of, or by reason of the mercies of God, that you what? That you what? Present your body. It means to bring near or to appear. To present your bodies a living sacrifice, not dead. He's not asking for some self mutilation or self destruction at all. Not like the Old Testament where they would bring sacrifices and were killed as a foreshadowing of what Jesus would do as Messiah, shedding His blood. But they would do that every year, Day of Atonement. Multiple times during the year, present your bodies a living sacrifice. I think I'm referred to an element of this on Sunday, but people may say, "I'm ready to die for Christ." And obviously, that is an aspect that some people in the world are actually positioned to do, and they have given their lives as martyrs for Christ. But God may be isn't so interested in this Wednesday night crowd being willing to die for him as he is being willing to live for him. So present your bodies a living sacrifice. Somebody said, Dr. Marianne Brown, who spent so much investing in this church before she went to be with the Lord, she said, the problem with a living sacrifice being put on the altar is it has a tendency to crawl back off the altar. Y'all look like you don't even know what I know, but experience would say, yes, Lord, I give, I put in there. That part of Ronnie crawls back off the altar to do his own thing. Wasn't somebody get in your face and start hollering at you, and that calmness and that peace of God that you had as you placed all that on the altar, and it wants to bow up its ugly temper head. I'm looking. Ain't nobody looking, even confessing anything with the... That can happen because we'll try to crawl up. So he said, but I want you to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Reasonable there is a word that means logical. Logical. God's not asking for something unreasonable. He's asking, this is your reasonable. The last word means an act of worship, which is your reasonable act of worship. Verse 2, I'm going to read it first from the New Living Translation and then go back and read it from the New King James again. Don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, of this world, but let God, what's that word? Transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Now, we'll go back and see it's more than that, but I'm going to read this out of that more modern translation for this setting. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. You will think differently. I will think differently. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Let's read verse 2 again. And from the New King James translation. And do not be conformed, say it with me, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let me just touch on a few words there. Do not be conformed to this world. That word, the Greek word, is the same word that we get, or a similar word that we get a schematic from. Anybody deal with electricity or schematics? Have you ever dealt with that? Can I see your hands in here? Few have, and Jeff is very, very much into having to understand that. Schematics may be the internal wiring diagram, cutoff switches, relays, things like that. And so he's saying, don't be conformed, schematic. Don't let the world rewire you to its way of thinking. A thermostat doesn't have that many wires, but if you get them crisscrossed, you got no air conditioning going on. Aren't you glad somebody knew how to wire that thing up in here? My bald head's still sweating, but I can get it. Hopefully you're more comfortable right there. Don't let the enemy, don't let the world conform you. He said, do not be conformed, schematic. However you would say it in the Greek. Don't get rewired by the world. Listen, I believe the devil's working a plan to rewire some people's thinking. And in current culture, it can happen. It can happen through educational systems. It can happen in a lot of different ways. But he said, do not be conformed to this world. And literally it means to conform oneself to another's pattern, to fashion oneself according. In this case, he said, don't be conformed to the world. The world there, it doesn't mean the globe or the earth or dirt or something. It means the age, the world system, a godless system. Doesn't have Christ at its head, doesn't have the truth of God's word as its pattern or guide at all. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let me back up. So look at me. Look with me. Woo, help me. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4 talks about people who are lost, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. The devils, it says, the god of this world or the god of this age. So how does the world try to conform us to its pattern? How does it try to blind people? Sometimes it's pressure. Sometimes it's external pressure. Many years I worked on public job and different situations. You understand that there's pressure to conform to that kind of behavior. What are you, some kind of holy Joe? Why don't you go get a cold one with us? Why aren't you this way? And blah, blah, blah. And so there's some peer pressures. You think that just faced by elementary or junior high kids, it's faced by adults. Can I hear a witness in the room? So there's some external pressure to conform. And he said, don't be conformed to let this world conform you into its image, because there's something else going on. Gives another, sorry, I jumped on the page and I forgot where I was going. Let me tell you, not just pressure. Sometimes there's a fear of rejection, or there's an element of fear of shame, or a shame that people try to put against even a believer seeking to follow after God. Be on guard against that. The Bible's not silent on this issue. Colossians 2 verse 8 says something that I think is very powerful in this setting as we're discussing this tonight. Colossians 2, 8, this is a translation called God's Word Translation. It says, be careful not to let anyone rob you of this faith through a shallow and misleading philosophy. Such a person follows human traditions and the world's way, there's that word again, of doing things rather than following Christ. Let's look at that first part again. Don't let anyone rob you of this faith, your confidence in the Lord, your trust in Jesus, through a shallow and misleading philosophy. Media that pushes that. Listen, you think, it must be true. I saw it on TV. I read it on the internet. Surely it's right. Well, maybe you better look a little bit deeper. We better. There are religious philosophies not founded on the truth of God's word. There are secular philosophies we certainly want our young people grounded enough, our kids, our grandkids grounded enough when they're going to school, some going on to college, those things, that they'll be able to withstand sometimes opposing philosophies that don't line up with the truth of the word of God. Can I hear one amen right there? Don't let let's go back to verse 2 of Romans 12. Do not be conformed to this world. Conformed, shaped into a mold that says this is what's acceptable. And where you're out here and saying maybe this is wrong or this is sin or this is right and this is righteous, we ignore that. We want to shape you into our mold. That anybody that's maybe nearly as old as I am have something when you were growing up called creepy crawlers? Yeah, you did? Anybody else? Let me give you the download on that. Actually, I think I saw they came back out with that again. Listen, if you hang on to your old clothes long enough, they'll come back in style. It seems like you hang on to y'all. I don't know. Just seeing. But creepy crawlers was a deal. You put some plastic mixture of stuff and a little mold, and it's like spiders and stuff. Creepy, get it? And so you put some, I think it was called Plastigoop. You remember it? Put it in that deal, little metal thing, and then you put it in the little oven or probably a light bulb. But when it heats up and then that goop just fills in those cracks, it conforms to the image of the mold. And then when it cools off, you pull the little spider out and you go scare girls at school with it. You know, it just worked out that way. I think I did get in trouble with that element really young. Don't let the world heat you up, put you into its plastic goop mold, and try to say, that's what you're supposed to look like. That's what you're supposed to act like. Listen, you ought to be throwing bricks through store windows right now or something. Wait a minute. You know what? I ought to be standing for righteousness. I ought to be standing against injustice, racial or otherwise. Amen? As a church, we need to. As people, we need to. But the mole that says, so pick up a rock and throw it at a policeman. What? Shoot somebody over this. No. Don't get put in that mold. Now we'll try to come out with some stronger statements and more line upon line things, but But we want to pursue righteousness and godliness. And again, changing the mold. I said it, I think, the other day, but I probably didn't because we haven't had church since then. But I'm so proud in our city of the response of believers. On Sunday evening, we were having church, so we weren't able to participate in that. But there was a prayer walk down toward downtown Waco there. I think it was over 350 people that wound up coming. I don't think it was particularly highly organized. I think word had gotten out on social media and people showed up. And I think it was over 35 pastors that showed up in prayer and believers walking and marching. And when I had a couple of pastor friends in town, I'd see the pictures or hear as one of the pastors, Jimmy Seibert at Antioch, or he oversees the Antioch movement, and as I'm hearing him call for people on their knees in repentance, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways, repenting. And he's calling for that, and he's calling for us lifting up the name of Jesus. That's powerful to me. You know what? In that event, there were no bricks thrown. There's nobody hurt in that event. It was families and it was kids. And see, that's a different mold. I think, oh, God, let us be some examples here. Let us be an example in our attitude, in our speech, in our love, in our embracing. Not something phony, something for real. But I'm proud of what God is doing in our county and in this region. Aren't you? Let's give God some praise. Can we do that? Lord, thank you. Lord, and wherever we're lacking, let it be picked up. Wherever we're missing it, help us get back on track. And in unity and harmony, again, cross every cultural line, but Lord, all under the authority and in the name of Jesus, that the kingdom of God be advanced and the glory of God be received in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. I wasn't really going all that places tonight, but in case you didn't know, that's what's been happening around here. Do not be conformed to this world. Not. Somebody say not. Not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformed is an interesting Greek word. We get the English word metamorphosis from that. If I can speak, I'll just give you an English rendition of that Greek metamorphos. It means to change into another form, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Tadpole to a frog. That metamorphosis, caterpillar to a butterfly. It's interesting to watch a video of caterpillar metamorphosis. It's being transformed. Listen, some of us start out real wormy, and you're looking more like butterflies tonight, and I'm sure glad about that. Amen. You said, look who's sitting close to me. I think they're still wormy. I don't know. Yeah, when we receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, there, our schematic gets straightened out in a different way. There's a programmed change that is set at work in us. He said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:17, a promise that many of you know and could quote. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Define a couple of these words for you. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. That means a renovation, a complete change for the better. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's a different Greek word for new. It means a new kind. Unprecedented. The new creation that you became and I became when I said yes to Jesus into my heart and life, gave my heart and life to him. The new creation that I became is unprecedented. It's not like putting a plug in an old tire. It's not even like a retread. Some of you have been in trucking, you know, you buy retreads and just do that terrible thing when the cap comes off. But anyway, God's not just into retreading believers. Oh, you look pretty good, got a new set of treads on, something. No, he melts the tire down, and he puts it in a different mold, and he shapes it differently. Amen? A new creation. All things have become new. The only other place in Scripture from where we read in 2 Corinthians 12:2, the other place where that original word is used, metamorpho, is in 2 Corinthians 3:18. So he says this. I don't want you to read it with me, if you will. But we all, well, let me start it over. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Another it gives another insight as it's as we behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord. As I look to the Lord, as I look to the Word of God, it gives, the book of James says this word is like a mirror. A foolish man is one who looks in the mirror and walks off and he forgot what kind of, you know, one of my grandbabies, I mean, she's kind of a wise guy, granddaughter, but she said something about, we were talking about the parts on our hair. You know, you part your hair on the left or right. She said something like this: Papa, your hair has a really wide part. Smart, about 10 years old, 11 years old. Listen, where was I going with that? Looking in the mirror. So beholding, as we behold the Lord, the Bible says we're being transformed. That's it, metamorphosized into the same image from glory to glory, but it's by the Spirit of the Lord at work. It's not my energy effort to reform myself, but I don't want to get ahead of myself because I want to complete this and wind on down here. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 will give us some insights right here about our focus. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, in other words, somebody's watching you, hello, let us strip off every weight that slows us down on this spiritual race, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. And what's the key about beholding? Verse 2, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. Somebody say amen. Keeping our eyes, our focus on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he's seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. All right, back to Romans 12, 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Metamorphosed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now, the word prove there, it means to test or examine, to recognize after examination that something is genuine. That Rolex that you bought when you're on vacation in New York from that guy that opened his coat and said, it's a Rolex, I will sell it to you for $25. And you got back and you examined it, and it said made in China or whatever it said, somewhere tucked way away, and you that's not a Rolex. Something's phony about this thing. It's a knockoff. Listen, don't settle for knockoff faith. Don't settle for a substitute, but the real thing. He said, so that you may prove what is good, the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. The word good means upright or excellent or honorable, useful. The good will of God. Acceptable means well-pleasing, the perfect or the complete will of God. Some people have read that verse and they tried to find three different wills of God in that. Let me just work through that real quickly and we'll move on. I was just in the acceptable will of God. And what they mean is I was walking in disobedience and rebellion to God, but since he didn't kill me, I guess it was okay. Don't look at me like you never had a thought or even anywhere close to that. And they assume that some way because they survived that period of rebellion. Listen, don't let the devil lie to you and say, well, it was really, you know, I learned so much while I was out there being stupid for that 15 years and being my crazy self that some way God, that was just God's will, and I learned some good stuff from that. Go ahead and slap somebody and say, you big dummy, just don't go out there and do all that stuff. You can learn by somebody else's mistake. The best way to learn is the Word of God and the Holy Spirit at work in us. We don't have to do that. Yes, you probably learned some valuable lessons. One of them is don't do that again. Can I hear amen? But to say some way that's the acceptable will of God, well, that's not really holding true to that verse. So Let me talk to husbands. If we're going to define an acceptable will the way that some people have done that in that breakdown of that scripture, then I just need to address that with some husbands. Your goal with your wife isn't to just stay faithful enough to her so that she doesn't kill you or divorce you. Love should motivate you not to flirt, not to cross any of those other lines with another woman. And all the husbands said, if your husband didn't say amen, go ahead and give him an elbow right now. All the husbands said, amen, because the order of God, again, I don't mean to stay so long on that. There's not three levels of the will of God. There's one will of God, and God will empower us to walk in that, okay? I'm almost getting through, but I just need you to grab this here. We got kind of a decent overview of Romans 12, 1 and 2. I really stayed on that a long time. You kind of got it? Got most of that meaning of that? Let me take you back through one little part of it. When I was looking up the Greek, be transformed, metamorphos, I wanted to know if it meant that we're to be ongoing. If transformation was an ongoing process, I would assume so, but let us see the tense of the Greek word, a metamorpho, and see if that's true. And it is true. But I discovered more than that in there. Be transformed. It's in the present tense. It means the right now. And in other words, always present. Tomorrow, I'm going to be transformed as I yield to God. Amen? The next day, if Jesus doesn't come back and I'm still alive, then I'm being transformed. That's to be an ongoing thing in our lives as we continue to yield to God. So the Greek comes in three. It's a tense and a voice and a mood of a Greek word, a Greek verb. So transform, I'm not trying to educate you here, but maybe this will make more sense this way. So being transformed, that's in the present tense right now. But the mood of that word is, it's a command. Whoa, wait a minute. I thought I just said yes to Jesus because I want fire insurance. I don't want to go to hell. Well, not going to hell is a good thing, but that's not what God, all he had in mind for you when you said yes to him. What he had in mind for me was to be transformed into his image. Amen. But here's a key. So it's a command. Be transformed is a command. Here's the revelation. Again, introduction was some growing up and just try to conform to church, things like that. Even though I did have a relationship with the Lord, some of my perspectives were pretty off. Here's a revelation of that word. The mood of that particular word is passive. There's either a passive mood or an active mood in the Greek language. So he says, be transformed. Instead of it being the active mood, be transformed, it's in the passive mood. The difference of those two moods in the Greek language, passive means the subject is the recipient of the action. It's not the originator of the action. I'm to be the recipient of this action of being transformed. Yes, it's a command. Yes, it's in an imperative sense. And it's in the ongoing sense, the present tense. But it's in the passive mood right there. So let me break it down. Here's the good news. I've stumbled through this. Please forgive me. Here's the good news. We are not the ones supplying the energy for the transformation, the metamorphosis, but we are the recipients of the power to be transformed. Oh, I wish I could get that out the way. We're in the passive sense. God is the one supplying the power to change. We've tried to change things on our own, and God knows that we need to change some things. But in our ability, the Bible says, and I believe it's Ecclesiastes, it asks the question, can a leopard change his spots? The obvious answer is no. Can we change our very inner character and nature? No. But God can. If anyone is in Christ, they're a new what? Creation. That's what God does. So we are to be the recipient of the power of God to be transformed. So let me ask you this. So do we just passively walk through life? Because God's going to, he's just going to change me. Do we passively walk through life? The answer is no. It's not. I'm not trying to make it a trick question. So some that would embrace that, well, you know, it's all up to God to change me. I'm just walking through doing my own thing. No. Wait a minute. I can accept the reality that I cannot change myself. That's pretty biblical, as we, I think, laid the foundation for. So what am I to do? The key is found back in verse 1 of Romans 12. We're going to go back there one more time. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, that you, what? Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable act of worship. The word present, to bring near. So what am I supposed to do? What's a key in this metamorphosis of God? I keep coming back, and I keep presenting myself to God. That Greek word is in the active voice. It means the subject is the doer or the performer of the action. When he said, therefore, present yourselves to God. I can't present you to God. I mean, I can pray for you. You can pray for me. I hope you do. But it's up to me to present myself to God. Come to the Lord. So I'm to present myself to God. How do I really act this out? Because if I cannot empower myself to transform me, but I can present myself to a transforming God. I wish I had some help in here tonight. I can present myself. I can bring myself to. I can come near to God. When I go to God sometimes in the mornings and my prayer time before the Lord, it's God, I come to you. Now, I know the only way I come to you is through the powerful blood of Jesus because of what Jesus did on the cross and his resurrection. That's what just gives me the ability to come to him. I can't come to him in my own merit, but I come to him because of what Jesus did. I think it's Romans 5:1 that says, I don't know what Romans 5:1 says. Can you pull that up? But I think I know it's the reference. I just forget it. Therefore, having been justified, you'll have to take it on too in a minute. Been justified by faith, we have peace with God. What's the next word? Through our Lord Jesus Christ, by our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go on to verse 2. I'd like to look at it too. There it is. Through whom we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Transforming of God. Oh, man, praise God. I wish I could communicate this better, but I present myself to God. I become the recipient of his action changing me. Man, how many times do I need to do that? Well, I did it when I was about 6 years old. Okay, praise God. He worked in my life. I got saved. If that's the last time I presented myself to Jesus, I am one big old mess because I have to keep going back and present myself to him. And when I present myself to him, I become the recipient of his power that's at work in me, changing me. When my attitude stinks, look at me in that tone of voice, Peaches, I don't know. See, some of you thinking, it wasn't an accusing tone of voice. I was thinking, See, all of us, when we think, God, I present myself to you. Some of my presenting to him in repentance, God, forgive me. My mindset's not right here. Cleanse me. Transform. Metamorphose. Again, that word is used very limited times in the Bible. So we come to him. Hebrews 4:16. I'll just give you a few more scriptures before we close here. Hebrews 4:16. Here's a command again. Let us, say it with me, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He didn't say a throne of judgment at this point. We can come to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. We come to him, the throne of what? Grace. And obtain mercy and find grace to help. It's an interesting word. I've shared this one other time. I don't even think it was in a sermon, but maybe in something really brief here. But let me take you back to what that word, find grace to help in time of need. That Greek word is only used one other place in the entire New Testament, and it's concerning when Paul was on the ship that was caught in the hurricane and all that stuff. They felt like the ship was going to fall apart. And in Acts 27, 17, the last part, then they passed ropes under the ship itself to hold it together. Under the ship itself. In that sentence is that same word, find grace to help. It says they passed, one of the translations says helps under the ship. It was passing ropes that hold that ship that's been tossed in a storm. I don't know how they got it, if they had one of the guys swimming all the way under the boat, if they went it under the front, but they girded the middles of that ship, those wooden ships that were built, because the storm was so raging, it would cause it to fall apart. And it says that they passed ropes or cables, some translations say, under the ship so it not fall apart, to hold it together. So when I come to him, I'll stay with me a few more minutes. When I come to him and the storm has been raging enough, that this ship is tossed back and forth, then I am coming boldly to the throne of grace and obtaining mercy and finding grace to help, to undergird, to run the ropes around the hull of this ship so that it doesn't fall apart in the middle of this storm. Some of you have walked through some real storms lately, and you know the grace of God that is an undergirding. But our part is come to the throne. Don't sit back and get your best friend's best advice and stop with that. Come boldly. A good friend will point you to the Lord and pray with you and give you the word of God. And we do this thing together. Somebody said we do it better, huh? Together. So let's go to that throne of grace just like that. The Bible says, James 4:8, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Our part, presenting ourselves to God. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Draw near to God. He'll draw near to you. His response, cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. When I present myself to him, when there is repentance, when I'm receiving his forgiveness, his cleansing, I'm coming to him. I'm also receiving his power, which is transforming me. 1 Peter 1, a couple of passages before we end. 1 Peter 1, verse 13 says, say it with me. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon your own ability. Rest your hope fully on the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Back it up just a little. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. When I see that word in the New King James, gird up, I think about girdle. Anybody ever heard of Shonda Pierce? She's a lady, Christian lady, comedian, funny. And when I'm hearing her tell about her Spanx, anybody seen that? Is that what a side word for girdle? So gird up your loins. I don't even know if I need to go down that trail, but she was just talking about putting on a pair of Spanx and they had a hole in them. And she said, you ever seen a can of biscuits that just kind of busted open? Okay, I gotta go on. I don't know. Guard up. Some rabbit trails I do not need to venture down. Except guard up the loins of your mind. Don't let your mind just go out like a busted biscuit can. You know, it just runs over here and it pooches out over here. Guard it up. Gird up the loins of your mind. Actually, the word loins there, it refers to reproduction. So gird up. That's what is reproducing in your mind. Gird it up. Put your Spanx on tightly, whatever. I don't get the word. But rest our hope fully upon the grace, the power, the transforming power of God that's brought through the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I hear one amen right there? I need that in me. And I don't need it just once all those years ago. I need it today. And when tomorrow gets here, I'm going to need it tomorrow. And let's look at the rest of that passage. As obedient children, not conforming. There's that word again, isn't it? Not conforming, don't get put in that other pattern, yourselves to the former lust or wrong desires, things in our past, as in our ignorance, our not knowing. But as he who has called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, God said, for I am holy. Amen. But God's the one that makes us holy. God's the one that's transforming my thinking. God's the one that's transforming my acting. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober. Most of you can quote this. Many of you could. Say it with me. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Here's our instruction. Again, we're not passive. We're supposed to be involved, engaging, cooperating with the transforming work of God. So verse 9 says, resist him. Resist the devil. Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Resist. That's in the active and imperative form of that verb, but not in our own strength. All right, Becky, would you come? And they'll think I'm closing. I'm kidding, I really am. But I want to give one more passage before I do. Listen, I believe that God wants all of us being transformed into the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. I used to hear people say, get to heaven by the skin of my teeth. I don't know if your teeth have skin on it, but I don't want to just get to heaven that way. I want to walk in with the glory of God because it's his transforming metamorphosis that is changing us and transforming us and the power of his grace. Isaiah 40, familiar passage. Won't have a lot of comment on it, but I want us to see this together. Isaiah 40, verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth. In case you don't know who he's talking about, do you see what he's doing? God, the Lord, creator of the ends of the earth. He neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Aren't you glad he's your father? Those of you that walk in with Jesus are glad he's my father. This description. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Thank you, Jesus. It's not about my ability, it's about your ability. Verse 30, though, it almost seems like a negative insert in the middle of this glorious passage. He says, even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Huh? Look, you mean even young people, young men, strength, but still fall, faint, be weary. But look at the rest of this in the context. He's saying that's going to be the outcome if they depend only on their own strength or ability. For those of us that aren't youth, that'll be the outcome for us too if we depend on our own ability, our own strength. Because it goes, the next verse, the same passage, the same sentence, understand, verse divisions were put there by the translators. Read it in whole sentence. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those, say it with me, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And that's not just talking about young folks. Thank God for what he's doing in young people and young adults in this place, in this church family. But even us older folks, we better grab hold of this. Walk, run and not be weary. Walk and not faint. How does it work? Those that wait on the Lord shall renew. That Hebrew word, it's Old Testament. You could reasonably translate that word exchange. We exchange our weakness for his strength. They that wait on the Lord will exchange their strength. In my strength, I'll walk and faint. I'll run and I'll be weary. That's my ability. Guard against just doing that. Burn up your own resources. No, I need access. The strength of God in exchange of that. Ah, hallelujah. 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 I don't know what you might be presently facing, what pressures you're under, what trials or hardship. You're probably in one of three positions as it relates to those. You're either coming out of a trial, test, hardship. You may be in the middle of one, or you may be going into one. I think it's really wise if we'll exchange our ability for his, don't you? Our strength, rely fully on the grace of God. Keep presenting ourselves. Keep worshiping Him. Keep exchanging. If we're headed toward failure, call out. Call out boldly. He said, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. Obtain mercy. Find grace to help in this time of need. I want you to stand up with me tonight. As in all, in many vocations, TSDC and other vocational type schools and a lot of other education as well, there's the classroom instruction that says, okay, this is the wiring diagram, this is that. In the classroom, you have this. And then they put you out in the shop or in the lab or on the job training, internship. Y'all understand what I'm saying? We belabored Romans 12, 1 and 2. We went through a process. Can we take a 2 or 3 minutes here and get out of the classroom setting and now apply? If we present ourselves to Him, I need His strength. Listen, wherever we are on our journey, number one is presenting ourselves to Him first for salvation. If tonight you've not received Jesus as Lord and Savior, tonight's the night to do that. Prayer partners, if you're comfortable to come, you're welcome to come. You know, you can space and don't get in somebody's face praying with them or anything. And because if you are comfortable and you're willing to do that, I want to make a prayer time available. So maybe you've pulled back and from the things of God, and maybe you felt so defeated and so hopeless. I keep failing here. I keep falling here. And I'm telling you, the command of God is, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Get mercy. I mostly need God's mercy when I've blown it, when I'm not lived up to what I know God's plan and purpose is. Come to it. Don't run from Him then. Run to Him. Oh God, now I choose. I take Your from Your throne of grace. I find grace to help. I find grace to help. Lord, I find my weakness to exchange for Your strength. If repentance is needed tonight, then